Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for Let Go, Let God Ministries with Reverend Carolyn and Reverend Wayne Anders. You will be blessed with the anointed preaching of these humble servants of God who have a word from the Lord for you today. God bless you as you listen.
Good morning. I am so excited to teach God's word this morning. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. Make your presence known. My name is Reverend Sherry Thompson, and I hope that you have taken the time to invite family and friends to join us. I'm so glad to be with you today, and I hope wherever you are in this awesome universe, it's a beautiful day, because when you walk by faith, it's always a beautiful day, and fear cannot operate in your life. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your love and your kindness and your instruction. We thank you, Father, that we walk by sight and by, we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. We walk by the Spirit, and we do not operate in fear. Thank you, God, that you have given us every promise in the book. You have given us instruction, and that you have given us power and authority, because 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says that we have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And every promise in the book belongs to us. Help us to remember who we are. Help us to listen to your voice and no other voice, God. The Bible is unfolding right in front of us today. It's surrounding us. There's no way, if you're a Christian, that you cannot see this. It is happening. Lord, help us. Open our eyes. Open our ears. Prepare our heart to receive the truth this morning. And help us to see what is going on around us, that you are coming soon, and you are trying to prepare your bride for that beautiful day when we are connected and joined together. Father, I just thank you for what you're going to do this morning in this powerful message that sets the captive free, that opens the blinded eyes, that opens the deaf ears, and prepare the heart to walk by faith and not in fear. God, I thank you that you are touching our country. Lord, I speak to this coronavirus in the holy name of Jesus. I speak that you have no power and you have no authority. I curse the very root of it in the holy name of Jesus, and that our people, your people, Father, will walk in faith and not in fear, to remember who they are and to stand strong, because it's not like you haven't been telling us. You've been telling us for many, many years that this was coming, and it's here. God, help us to stand strong, to not fear, to remember who we are in the holy name of Jesus, so that we can be overcomers and we can help our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers to be overcomers and not to operate in fear, but to operate in your love and your power and faith. God, give us the strength to do that. And I speak to every leader all over this world in the name of Jesus that you operate in God's faith and not fear. We give you glory and we give you honor. Thank you for saving the lost this morning. Thank you for healing those that are sick in body, mind, and spirit. For those who have addictions, God, which we know we have an epidemic all over this world. They're addicted to something, whether it's alcohol or perversion or if it's drugs or adultery or overeating. It doesn't matter what it is. You have the power and authority to heal and set the captive free. We give you all the glory and all the honor. Thank you for our military men and women that are keeping our country free. Bring them safely back home. Thank you them and keep them safe. Surround us all with your hedge of protection as you are loosing the word, protecting angels around your people, God. Help us to hear your voice clearly and to stand strong. And thank you, God, for anointing this message, God, that will give us a map to truth and to a sound mind and to walk in faith and not fear. In Jesus' precious holy name. And everybody out there say amen and amen. I'm so glad to be with you this morning. The message title is Fear is a Liar. Faith, my friends, is the opposite of fear. Our opponent this morning is faith versus fear. What does the Bible say? My text is coming this morning from Genesis 15. Faith and fear cannot exist together, my friends. Faith is described in Hebrews 11:1 as being certain of what we do not see. Now, it is an absolute belief that God is constantly working behind the scenes in every area of our life, even when there is no tangible evidence of support to support that fact. On the other hand, fear simply stated is unbelief or weak belief. If unbelief gains the upper hand in our thoughts, fear takes hold of our emotions. Our deliverance from fear and worry is based on faith, which is in the very opposite of unbelief. Now, we need to understand this faith is not something that we can produce in ourselves. Faith is a gift. In Ephesians 2:8-9 says, faithfulness is described as a fruit, a characteristic that is produced in our lives by the Holy Spirit. And of course, Galatians 5:22-23 says the Christian faith is a confident assurance in a God who loves us, who knows our thoughts, and who cares about our deepest needs. When our faith continues to grow as we study the Bible and learn the attributes of his amazing character, the more we learn about God, the more we can see him working in our lives. And the stronger our faith grows. Growing faith is what we desire to have and what God desires to produce in us. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17 says that the careful study of God's word is of primary importance in developing a strong faith. Now, God wants us to know him completely and to rely on his direction in our lives. It's through the hearing, the reading, the meditation, and the scriptures that we begin to experience a strong, confident faith that excludes worry and fear. Spending time in prayer and quiet worship develops a relationship with our Heavenly Father that sees us through even our darkest days and nights. Fear is a liar. Don't fear. Stop. Fear, my friends. Don't let fear stop you from your destiny. Fear comes knocking at your door daily to see who's home and if you will welcome him in. Don't ever open the door to fear. It comes to do one thing, to kill, steal, and destroy. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. This morning, we will learn how to overcome fear. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, Genesis 15 has rightly been called one of the most important chapters in the Bible. In it, we discover the details of the Abrahamic covenant, which is the most important covenant in all the Bible. Now, hundreds of years later in the New Testament, writers, especially Paul in Galatians 3, but also Peter in Acts 3, will look back on this covenant as the foundation for the Christian gospel. Since the word Genesis means verse 1. This phrase is used over 100 times in the Old Testament. And number 2, the first time God said, fear not to anyone in verse 1. And number 3, the first time God is called a shield in verse 1, frequently uses in the Psalms to describe God's protection for his people. Now found in Psalms 3 and 3, 5 and 12, and 28 and 7. Now number 4, the first time anyone is said to have believed in the Lord in verse 6, the New Testament uses the word believer as a synonym for Christian. See 1 Timothy 4 and 12, because I can't read every single scripture for time's sake, but jot it down. At this time point, God's fundamental word is, Abraham is fear not. But what did Abraham have to fear? First, he certainly could fear retaliation after his shocking defeat of the four kings from Mesopotamia. Double last morning, after Abraham chased them north of Damascus, they might well be expected to mount a counterattack. Now let's talk about waiting for a baby. Now Abraham's greater fear, no doubt, related to God's promise to give him a son. Many years earlier, the Lord had said he will give Abraham descendants as numerous as the sands of the earth. Even though Abraham was over 75 years old, now he is at least 85 and not getting any younger. Now his wife Sarah is far past childbearing age. Even though he has just won a great victory, nothing can satisfy his deep desire for a son. Only those who have gone through this experience can fully empathize with Abraham and Sarah. My friends, there is no sadness like the sadness of wanting children of your own, but being unable to have them. Even in this day of modern medicine and advanced technology, many couples wait for years, and some couples wait forever. Now, you might be asking, has God forgotten his promise? I can assure you, God never forgets anything, and certainly not his promises. I think Abraham's greatest fear stems from the fact that God did not seem in a hurry to give them a child. However, much longer would be to wait. They didn't know. Why he is so dismayed? Why did God delay this? Why did God delay this? God had changed his mind and not told Abraham. Was there some problem he didn't know about? Had they sinned? Was there something Abraham or Sarah was doing that was displeasing to God? Why was Sarah's womb still closed? If God had promised, why was it taking so long to be fulfilled? Should they go to a plan B? God knew exactly what his servant was thinking. And he knows, my friends, what we're thinking. Fear, my precious loved ones, is a liar. A liar. For 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. As you can imagine, all these questions were running through Abraham's mind. God knew exactly what his servant was thinking. He saw the doubt. He understood the fear, as he does with us today, my friends. Now he moves to reassure Abraham that all will be well. The time has not yet come for the child to be born, but it wasn't far off. Friends, God keeps his promises. He will protect us, but we must trust him. So Genesis 15 contains two promises God gave to Abraham. The first concerns the promise of the son, and the second relates to God's promise to give him the land of Canaan. Now, from these two promises, we may learn great truths about God's answer to our deepest fears. Oh, my goodness. Did you hear what I just said? From these two promises, we may learn great truths about God's answer to our deepest fears. Now, now. God promised Abraham and Sarah that they would have a baby from her body. Now just hold on, because I'm taking you somewhere. There are four reasons why Abraham could have doubted God's promise of a son. The first one, he was too old. Number two, too many years had passed since the promise had been given. And three, nothing like this had ever happened before. And number four, Sarah also doubted God's promise. Remember, she laughed. Does that sound familiar? Do we laugh at the things when we see them or hear them of God? Is there a little doubt there? When you think about it, there was no reason to believe, no reason except that God had promised to do it. The question now is so simple. Will God's promise be enough for Abraham? Is God's promise enough for you today, my friends? That is my question to you. In answer to this question, God declares that I am your shield. We should not think of a small shield that covers only the chest area, but rather a shield that stretches from head to toe and completely protects every part of the soldier's body. Such a shield offers complete protection from every attack of the enemy. That same shield will protect us from the coronavirus. Remember, he already paid the price for our healing and good health at the cross over 2,000 years ago. Now you say to call God our shield means two specific things. Number one, he protects us in times of doubt. And number two, he rescues us in times of danger. Fear is a liar. Woo, it is a liar. It is a liar. Please stop. Believe and trust. God is your shield no matter what. Fearful times are here. The Bible is unfolding right before us. It's not coming. It's already here, my friend. It's here. I came across a story that simply increased my faith in God's protection over me and his people. It's about a pastor and what happened to his son and his friend one summer night. Now, the story reads like this, my friends. One night last summer, my son and his friends had been driving our van when it jumped the curb, nearly hit a house and swiped the fence, jumped another curb and hit the tree going 55 miles per hour. The van was totaled and all four people wound up in the hospital. And I was told later that it was a miracle that anyone walked away from that accident. Now, the man at the body shop showed us how the van hit the tree squarely in the middle of the front bumper. Now, if it had been moved 6 inches to the left or right, we would have been going to the funeral home instead of a hospital. The pastor said, I cannot fully explain what happened that night or why my son and his friends were spared from sudden death, but I accept the words of my friend who said to me, yes, it's a miracle because an angel took that hit. Absolutely, he did, and he protected them, you and I, from this coronavirus, my friends. Now, the pastor walked past the spot, which was the first time since the accident. He felt like erecting a sign that says the Lord is a shield around his people. He protects even in the darkest times, even when the storms of life seem to be surrounding us. This is when we trust God. This is when we say, fear, you are a liar. You're a liar. And I trust God and stand on every promise in the book. Now, I read across the quote that says, a Christian is immortal till his work on earth is done. Now, that statement means that nothing can harm without God's permission. Not cancer, not AIDS, not bankruptcy, not theft, not the loss of your job, not a terrible accident, not the death of a child, not any of the 1,000 other things, and certainly not coronavirus. Do you hear me? Who are you standing on? Who are you trusting? Fear is a liar. It is a liar. A we need to know that as a child of God. So no weapon formed against us can prosper. No evil or calamity can come at us. But to know who we are means that we do not fear, but we operate in faith. Now, what happens to others also happens to us sometimes. But the difference is that we know that God protects us from the harm so that nothing can touch us that doesn't first pass through his hands of love. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Stop living in fear. Fear is a liar. It only wants to enable you, to cage you, to make you a prisoner. Exile is different to fighting because we hope in God. Because we're Christians. We are the children of God. We are the sons of God. We have power. We have authority. We know who we are and we take a stand. Because when a flood comes in, God says we raise the standard. We are to raise the standard and trust in him and walk in faith and not fear. The knowledge, this knowledge doesn't mean that we don't weep or we don't suffer sometimes. We do. Because we're still human. We live in a fallen body and a fallen world. But it is the basis of this statement that we fail, but not as those who have no hope. Our sorrow is different precisely because we hope in God. The Bible makes it so clear that no one can do nothing except that which my God permits him to do. I recently read about a doctor in India. Her name was Dr. Alisa Bell. Now, it turns out that many years ago, a local lawyer began harassing her and the work of the Duncan Hospital because he is not a Christian. He objected to the fact that the hospital opening does evangelism among with its compassionate medical care. Now, thousands of Hindus and not a few Muslims have come to Christ over the past many years or more since this article was written, which was quite some time ago, but it's a powerful article. Speaking of pretext for legal action, this lawyer accused the hospital of illegally selling intravenous fluid to its patients. Now, it wasn't true, of course, but that didn't matter. For several years, the case bumped up and down the Indian court system, eventually reaching the Supreme Court. Now, at one point several years ago, it appeared likely that Dr. Bell might be thrown in jail or forced to leave the country. Now, I'm going to shut down this hospital, this attorney said, and you're going to jail or I will have you deported. That's what the lawyer, who was not a Christian, said to Dr. Bell. This is where she took a stand. She remembered who she was, and she said, fear is a liar, and that she must walk by faith. And she took a stand, and she stood strong. To which Dr. Bell replied to this lawyer, you can do nothing to me except what my God permits you to do. Do you hear me? This coronavirus can do nothing to us except what God permits it to do. Who are you? Stand strong. Walk in faith and not in fear, my friends. You have a power and you have authority. That's a perfectly biblical answer, right? Our God is a shield around his people. Nothing can touch us except that which God permits. But this lawyer was trying to cause the doctor to fear. God said, look at the stars. This is what he was saying to Abraham. Not only did God remind Abraham of his faithfulness, he also once again promised descendants without number. This time he told Abraham to look at the stars. Look up at the heavens and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, so shall your offspring be. They say that you can see over 8,000 stars on a clear night in the Middle East. Astronomers tell us that they catalog over 30,000 stars, but they estimate the total number may be over 100 billion. No one knows how many stars there really are. That's precisely God's point. Abraham will have so many descendants that he will never be able to count them all. That's quite a promise to make to an old man with an old wife who has no children and no prospects. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Verse 6 has been rightly called John 3:16 of the Old Testament. It contains the first clear message of the way salvation in the Bible. Now, Abraham believed in the Lord and was credited to him for righteousness. Three crucial words unlock the meaning of this verse. Believe. In Hebrew, this word is related to the word amen. To believe God is to say amen to his promises. It means to rest your entire weight on the truth and what someone has said or done. Believing God means relying upon the word to the point that if his word is true, if his word is true, then you can stand on it. Now listen, the second word is accredited. It's accredited. It is a term from the banking world that means to credit to one's account. Just as a teller will accept the deposit in the credit of your account with an amount of money, God credited Abraham's account with righteousness because of his faith. Abraham stood against his fears and looked it in the face and called it a liar. It's about you this morning, my friends. Are you facing fear? Then look fear in the face. Stand up. Call it what it is. Call it a liar. And the third word is righteousness. The word stands for the moral perfection God demands on all people. The righteousness of God is that righteousness which his righteousness requires him to require. God demands perfection. And only perfect people will get to heaven. Now hold on, because we're striving toward perfection. Don't forget it. We're his children. He does not grade on the cards. If you either score 100 or you don't go through the door. So just listen up, because it is about trusting and obeying. Hold on, I'm trying to make a point. Here is the gospel, plain and simple. Abraham believed all that God had said, and in response, God credited his account with perfect righteousness. That was over 4,000 years ago, but the same principle works today. All you have to do to be saved is believe what God has said about a son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, his son of God, died on the cross for you, that he rose from the dead on the third day, that he paid the price for all of your sins, that he is both Savior, Lord, and God, that he will save you if you will come to him. You must repent of your sins and ask forgiveness. Then God is faithful and just to come into your heart. Now, my question for you listening is, how's your account with God today? How is your account with God today, my friends? Does it say stepped with fear or stepped with trust? Which is it? Only you know the answer to that. How do you stand with God right now? What kind of account do you have with him? Are you certain you will go to heaven when you die? No one who is hearing this message needs to go to hell. If you go, it will be in spite of all that God has done for you, because he's a God. He is a God. He is God, and he is always, always making the way of escape. See, if you aren't sure of how your account stands with the Lord, I urge you to do what Abraham did. Believe with all your heart everything that God has said. Embrace the Lord Jesus as your only hope of salvation. When you do, God will credit your account with righteousness. Now, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, yes, all his perfection will be entered under your name in the great ledger books of heaven. All that you lack will be given to you. you will then be sure that you will go to heaven when you die. I will give you an opportunity at the end of my message to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't know him today, you can. There's an open invitation, and it is from Jesus. And God's promise, I will give you this land. Here's the second promise. With that, we now pass to the second great promise God made to Abraham. This first concerns the birth of the son and the second promise of inheriting all the land. Let me summarize this material in this message this way. Number one, there is a reminder of past guidance from God in verse 7. And number two, God then tells Abraham to gather animals for sacrifice, found in Genesis 8 and 8-11. Now, number three, God spells out the details of the covenant. Excuse me. The covenant that is about to make with Abraham, found in Genesis 12 and 16. And number four, God cut a covenant with Abraham, found in Genesis 17 through 21. Several details of this passage may seem obscure because they rest on the ancient practices that are quite foreign to our experience. Basically, God is making a formal agreement called the covenant with Abraham. He makes that covenant with you and I when we accept him as Lord and Savior. The covenant was one of the most common means of making a legal agreement in the ancient world. Since written agreements were not common, most agreements were formalized through a ceremony known as cutting the covenant. After agreeing to the details to two people involved would bring animals for sacrifice. Now, after reading this agreement aloud, the animals were sacrificed and laid in two parallel rows. Then the two people would join hands and walk side by side between the rows of the dead animals. This signified two things. A, a joint agreement to the terms of the contract, and B, a vow that is, if the terms were violated by either party, the violator would be put to death to suffer the same fate as the animals. The next thing that I'm going to say is this one is on me. Woo! This one is on me! This is what God was saying. Well, let's find out why Abraham said that. Abraham said, the most important point in this message is the fact that God, symbolized by the smoking oven and the flaming torch, passes between the dead animals while Abraham sleeps. The fact is, this fact is most significant because it means that God is taking upon himself the full responsibility for keeping the covenant. It's as if God is saying, go ahead, take a nap, Abraham. This one is on me. The theologians call this the Abrahamic covenant. It is the most important covenant in all the Bible because it contains God's plan to send to this earth. Now, when Paul discusses the seed of Abraham in Galatians 3, this covenant is on his mind. Here are four words that describe this covenant. Number one, it's very personal. And number two, it is literal. And number three, it is unconditional. And last but not least, it is eternal. Yes, I said it. It is eternal. Therefore, we may say confidence that this covenant is still in force today. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. We trust God. Why? Because fear is a liar, my friends. Now, here's why Abraham was the instructable Jew. At the end of this chapter, God makes several specific promises to Abraham. Here's the first one. I will give this land to your descendants, found in verse 18. And two, the land which stretches from the Nile, verse 18. And three, the tribes living in the land will be dispersed, found in Genesis 15, 19 through 21. You may wonder about the 10 tribes mentioned in the last three verses, the Hittites or the Gergites or the Amorites and so on. If you are interested, you can find information regarding them in any good Bible dictionary. However, the most important point is to know it is none of them that they don't exist anymore. They have all passed into the dusty pages of the history books. You can search the earth from Bangladesh to Berlin, and you won't find any of those. They are gone forever. They vanished from the face of the earth thousands of years ago. But the descendants of Abraham, on the other hand, remain. They are the Jews, the literal physical recipients of the promise made over 4,000 years ago. Someone has written a tract called The Indestructible Jew. That's a wonderful title because it is true. Despite the page of centuries, through wars and whatever that may cause problems, that may cause it, there were sacrifice laid and many millenniums of cultural change. And despite some very determined efforts to wipe them out, the Jews remain to this day. Not even Hitler and all his vile dreams could kill them all. Thank God, because they are our brothers and sisters. We are adopted into the vine, and we are so grateful for that. We must pray for Israel on a daily basis. Uphold our sisters and brothers that are Jews, and speak to them with the love of those that don't know Jesus, because they need to know him. They need to know there's a way out and there's a way of escape, and that Jesus is God. When God makes a promise, he never breaks it. He is not a promise breaker. He is a promise keeper. Yes, when God makes a promise, he keeps it. I would venture to say that the continued existence of the Jewish race after more than 4,000 years is more than the strongest proof of the truth of the Bible. The Jews are here because God promised Abraham that he would make him a great nation. Abraham never lived to see the fulfillment of that promise, indeed. In this very passage, God declared that he would live to a ripe old age, and then his descendants would spend 4,000 years in Egypt. Only then would they return and possess the land. Now, history is truly his story, and the Jews are truly God's chosen people. Nothing else can explain the miraculous survival across the centuries. Let's find out why God delays his answer sometimes. It all started with God's promise to give Abraham a son over 4,000 years ago. That brings us back to the central issue of the chapter. Why did God wait so long to give Abraham a son? After all these years, God still isn't ready to answer his prayers. Well, listen up. Abraham is old, but he will be older yet before Isaac is finally born. Of all the questions that plague the people of God, none is so vexing as the question of unanswered prayer. Now, we know God loves and has a good plan for our lives. Why then does God take so long to answer our deepest, most heartfelt prayers? From this story, we may suggest five answers. Because, you know, God takes the good and the bad, and he works all of these things together for those that love him. But here are some answers that may help you this morning. God delays his answers in order to develop our faith. And he also wants to develop the quality of our perseverance. Now, long delays mean that when the answer comes, no one but God can get the glory. Long delays also mean that no one can doubt that God has worked that miracle in the answers of your prayers. Now, stories such as Abraham's are meant to give hope to everyone who has prayed a prayer for years without receiving an answer. God is faithful, and his time is not our time. His ways are not our ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. He knows what he's doing. And he is working on your behalf behind the scenes. This is where we have to trust him. We have to obey him, and we have to stand. We have to walk in faith and not fear. Could God's delay be about a person? Well, God's answer to fear is not an argument on a formula. It's a person. That's why he said to Abraham, fear not. I am your shield. God is saying to someone this morning, I am your shield. And he said to many, I am your shield from coronavirus. God himself is the final answer to every fear of the human heart. My precious friend, somebody listening this morning, say, fear is a liar. Fear is a liar. Have you ever wondered why God called himself by the name I Am? In the Old Testament, certainly it has to do with his external existence, but there is also a word of personal encouragement in that name, of course. Think of it this way, my friends. Who is God to you? According to his name, he is the essence of whatever you need at the moment. Today, we need him to stand with us, to help us stand on his promises, to help us operate in faith and not fear. Well, God is saying to you, I am your strength. I am your hope. I am your courage. I am your health. I will supply all your needs. I am your defender. I walk alongside you. I am your attorney. I am your deliverer. I am your forgiveness. And he's saying, I am your joy and peace. My friends, he's saying, I am your future. In short, God is saying to you and me this morning, I am whatever you need, whenever you need it. He is the all-sufficient God for every crisis. Even in this dark hour of this horrible coronavirus, which we have the power and authority to curse it and to believe that God is going to keep us safe. He's our shield. He's our buckler. He's our robe that wraps around us in safety. So it pays to remember, fear is a liar. If you allow fear, it will stop you and it will stop your destiny. And it will destroy your future. You have a choice. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day you make the right decisions to follow God, to trust God, to obey God, to listen to God, and to hear and obey his words. This is why we must move from fear to faith. Let's wrap up this message very quickly by looking up four principles that will move us from fear to faith. This is how we do it, my friends. Number one, fear focuses on the past. Faith focuses on the present, on the present. A few days ago, I met a friend who is struggling with personal issues with fear and doubt. Now, in some ways, you might say she is even gripped with fear as she thinks about certain people and how things might work out in her life or what's going on in the surroundings around us today. As we talk together, I finally looked at her in the eyes and said, it's time to move from fear, faith, my friend. Are you ready to move with me? And I'm saying to you this morning, are you ready to move from fear to faith, my friend? Because God is right there waiting on you. He will operate through you in faith and not fear if you will just say, I'm ready, God. Who out there saying this morning, I'm ready, God. I'm ready to take a stand. I'm ready to be willing. I'm ready to operate in faith and not fear. Well, listen, me and my friend prayed, and we were claiming God's promises as I believe that you're claiming God's promises and protection this morning. When I saw her the next day, she said that she had slept much better than she had slept in years. Because why? Because she begins to focus on God's promises. She begins to operate in faith. And she defeated fear by doing that, my friend. That's what you can do this morning. God is your shield to protect you. He is for you and not against you, my friends. Now think of Abraham. Now the past argued, and it urged against ever having a child. So did the present. Well, listen, his only hope lay in the promises of God for his future. Your only hope lay in the promises of God for your future, my friends. As long as he looked back, he would never have faith to believe God. As long as you look back this morning, my friends, you will always walk in fear and not faith. Don't look back. Move forward. His only hope was to step out into the future, trusting that somehow, some way, God would keep his promises. And number two, faith means trusting in God's timing, not your own. You see, it's about God's timing, not our timing. God's timing is perfect. So many of us struggle with fears that start right here. Deep down, we fear that God has somehow made a mistake in his dealings with us, like Abraham. We have waited and waited, sometimes for years on end, even though we may have seen many remarkable answers to prayer. The only thing that means the most to us is not granted. Well, listen, don't give up. Your miracle is just around the corner. I'm thinking right now of different people that I know who pray faithfully week after week for their loved ones to be saved. Some of them write notes each week asking prayer for the unsaved wife or husband or family members. Week after week, our requests come in for family to be faithful, to listen to God. Now, I continue to pray, to take a stand daily, to trust God, and I allow fear in. Please allow fear in. Trust and obey, for there is no other way. This is why I trust in God and I work my faith. I know you're probably thinking, where is God? Why doesn't he answer the fervent, heartfelt prayers of his people? Believe me, he is answering the prayers of his people. He is right there working behind the scenes, even though you can't see him. He's there. Of the many answers that might have been given to that question, my friends, one answer must be that God's timing, and ours are often quite different. Sometimes we are living and it's in standard daylight time, and God seems to be working with specific daylight time. Edward Dobson offers a helpful word at this point. The issue is this. Excuse me. Take a drink of water. Is God in control? Is he not in control? If God is in control, he is never early. He is never late. He is always right on time. God always operates on a schedule. His on-time arrival schedule is perfect. Never early, never late. He never forgets, and he's always, always on time. And here's the third answer. Faith grows by believing God in spite of your circumstances. Woo, that is powerful. That is powerful. And here's number four. Faith is obeying God one step at a time. This principle is often overlooked by those seeking to do God's will. God promised a child to Abraham, and he desperately wanted to see the fulfillment of that promise. So what does God tell him to do? Round up the animals for sacrifice. How do you get from the nursery? Listen, Abraham doesn't have a clue how to get from the nursery to what that he just said about the animals. But Abraham doesn't have that clue. God doesn't tell him a thing. But Abraham now has a choice. He can choose to obey God and trust God and round up the animals and get ready for a sacrifice, even though it doesn't seem to connect with the son of his dreams. Or he can argue with God and decide to take matters in his own hands. Does that sound familiar? Has that ever worked out for you, my friends? Don't allow fear to lead you. This is where we trust God. This is where we work our faith. This is where we do not take things in our hands, but we lean to God's understanding, not our own, that we tune our ear to the Spirit, and we hear what He's saying and telling us to do. How often we stumble over this. We slight the near in favor of the far, shrieking the duties of day because we are dreaming about some distant tomorrow. Understand, until we have done what God has called us to do today, we will never be prepared for what He wants us to do tomorrow. Oh, my goodness, I said it, and it is so worth repeating. But until we have done what God has called us to do today, we will never be prepared for what He wants us to do tomorrow. Is that speaking to someone this morning? You know who you are. You know who you are. God loves you so much, and He wants everything for you. He's a good father, and He wants the best for His children. In the end, 99% of life turns out to be humdrum, ordinary, routine. It's the same old thing day in and day out. Yet out of the humdrum, God is weaving an unseen pattern that will one day lead us in a new direction. Faith means taking the next step, whatever it is. And faith, and walking by faith, God, wherever He leads us. Sometimes it will make no sense to us. Other times it will. But most of the time it doesn't. But this is where we trust God. But we still have to take that step if we are going to do God's will. Take a stand. Call fear what it is. Call fear what it is. A liar. Can you trust God? Can you trust God, my friend? Everything I've been trying to say in this message comes down to one simple question. Can you trust God? Or better, can God be trusted? More and more, I am convinced. I am convinced. This is the fundamental question of life. Is God good, and can He be trusted to do what is right? If the answer is yes, then we can face the worst that life has to offer, including this horrible coronavirus. If the answer is no, then we're no better off than the people who have no faith at all. In fact, if the answer is no, or if we're not sure, then we really don't have any faith anyway. But I know somebody out there does. I know somebody is standing on the promises of God this morning, and they are walking in faith and not fear. But I have learned that faith is a choice you make. Sometimes you choose to believe because of what you see. Often you believe in spite of what you can see. As I look to the world around me, many things remain mysterious and unanswerable. But if there is no God, and if He is not good, then nothing at all makes any sense. I have chosen to believe because I must believe. I truly have no other choice. If I confident, it is only because I have learned through the tears and the pain and the prayers that my only confidence is in God and God alone. If I felt no shame, I don't, in saying that. But I have decided to believe that God is good and can be trusted no matter what happens. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't have the strength to get out of bed every morning. I wouldn't. But you know what? I do believe it, and I stand because of it. There will be times when we can't read the Bible. Sometimes we won't be able to focus our thoughts on God at all. Often we will not even be able to pray. But in those moments, my precious friends, remember who you are. Remember you're His beloved. And when you can't do anything else, we can still trust in the loving purposes of our Heavenly Father. Fear not, child of God. No one knows what a day may bring. Who knows if we will make it through this week? But our God is faithful to keep every one of His promises, and nothing absolutely nothing happens to us except it first passes through the hands of God. If your way is dark, keep on believing. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know, my friends, he cares for you and for me because you are his precious beloved. Remember, fear is a liar, and you can be free by walking by faith and not fear. Please, somebody, share this message with your loved ones, your coworkers, your family. Don't keep it to yourself. The gospel sets the captive free. And that's what I'm here to do this morning. And I want you to read Psalms 91 in the NIV version, because if you read this over your family on a daily basis, you will know his protection covers you. Please read Psalms 91 in the NIV version. God loves you so much. I want to offer you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you don't know him, today is your day. Today is your day of salvation. Pray this sinner's prayer with me right now. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come before you humbly, recognizing that I am a sinner, that I am undone without a Savior, that I need you in my life, that I repent of my sins. Wash me and cleanse me and make me white as snow. Create me with everything that you have wanted me to do and to walk in your perfect will. Help me to walk in faith and not fear. Help me to know who I am and that I can take a stand. And that I can have power and authority because who I am now. Thank you, Lord, for hearing this prayer. Thank you for saving me, God. I love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you said that sinner's prayer this morning, praise be to God. Welcome you. Welcome to the family of God. Because now you are a new creation. The old man is dead. And he has passed away, and the beginning of your life is just beginning to start. Now God can take that pen. I love this, and I always say it because I hear it on the message all the time. So I kind of borrowed that saying, but you know what? God can take that pen out of your hand and begin to write the real story he created you for. Not your story, but the story he created, because he can take the ordinary person, and they will be extraordinary. That's you this morning. Praise God for you. Remember, my friends, God loves you so much. His favor surrounds you, and you will never leave. He will never leave you or ever forsake you. You can walk by faith and not in fear. Victory is yours today, my friends. God bless you until we meet again.